If you'd like to turn to a couple of places, put your finger in a couple of these places or a marker in it, we're going to be looking at Romans 7 and 8 and also the 10th chapter of Hebrews. We must be convinced to the place of faith, and that means manifestation. Because when we're talking about faith, we're not talking about belief. We've already gone over that. Belief is not faith. Faith has works to it. It brings into manifestation what God is saying. I don't care whether it's what it may be in our life, whether it be a word of knowledge, whether it be a word of wisdom, whether it be healing, whatever it may be, faith is that which brings it in to existence. What we're talking about is substance when we're talking about manifestation. We're talking about something, evidence of it. We're not just talking about a dead religion. I think most of us have seen, and we sure don't want to sit here and criticize anybody this morning. We need to allow this to speak to our own heart. It's not enough to see the lack out there in the world and in the religious system. We must see the lack in our own lives and not let it bring us to a place of condemnation, but bring us to a place of real activity in God, to where we are moving in faith and we're not settling for just believing facts. Because we've been taught this. How do we become spiritually minded? Because as we look there in the seventh chapter of Romans, in the sixth verse, down along the latter half of that verse, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. To see the difference between religion and what God has given to us, life. That's where we need to look at it. Because there's no sense in referring to it as Christianity, because everybody out there says, you know, we're Christians. And we're not here to debate that one way or another. That doesn't make any difference. That's not our thrust. Our thrust is that God can speak to our hearts, that we can be what God wants us to be. But there is a difference between religion and life. That's what we'll term our relationship with the Lord, life. As you read the seventh chapter of Romans, you'll come down to the place that Paul is saying, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. This is religion. Want to, but can't do it. See the value of it as far as mental assent to it, but not able to grasp it, not able to partake of it, not able to experience it, not able to know the manifestation of God in our lives. That's what I would term a dead religion. It's a deadness because it's only by the letter. We know facts. And of course, a lot of times we've been programmed. We know the facts. We know the doctrine. But if we can set that aside without compromising this morning and see that it's life is not in doctrine. Life is in Christ. Everything is summed up in Christ Himself. Not in just what He taught, but who He was. Because what He taught came out of who He was. And this is what each one of us need to realize. But it's probably some of us would agree that, you know, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but what I want to do, I can't do. Should not be the testimony of a Christian. He has given us the power, and what has happened in our lives is revealed to us over here in the 8th chapter of Romans very clearly. I'm not going through all of these scriptures in 7 and 8, but there is a vast difference. It tells us how to be free from the law in the first part of 7. And then it goes on to show us that the law cannot save us. And then it sums up in the 8th chapter what our real salvation is. And again, we get used to these words. And just because we can say them, because we understand it to a certain extent, we say that they're ours. And a lot of times that's very deceptive. Very deceptive when we say we have something that we do not have. We must have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be alive and He must be real to us. There must be some working of God towards us. If, as we've already looked at over there in John, He said that He would come and He would manifest Himself to His disciples. And this is the same thing that He's going to do to us. If He is our Savior and He's come to abide within us, as He said He would do, if He has sent the Holy Spirit, then there's going to be a manifestation the same as it is with the disciples that He was speaking to. In other words, He's going to manifest Himself to us. If this is not a reality, then we have no more than religion. Don't let that stumble any of us, because the provisions are there for us to move on in and to know God, to experience God. And I look at it, I don't know how you want to say it, but on a day-by-day basis that I'm in a relationship with the Lord. I'm in a relationship with Christ and what He is doing. I'm experiencing a manifestation of His life. There's one thing to know His strength. There's one thing to know His peace. All of these are based in one thing, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we see this, we start to realize that I don't receive something, I don't pray for something, for God to give me something. He has already given me all things in Christ Jesus. I need to start to realize what those are. What I have this morning, what you have, everything is in the person. It's not separate from the person. Now, I know that you say, I know that. I'm afraid we don't know that. Even in our prayers sometimes, we're praying for God to give us something, and all we need to do is realize that He is there in us, giving us what we have asked for. He is. He's not going to give us something. He is. You name it. We all agree with this, right? We agree that this is truth. The next thing is to put it into practice in our lives. As we've said, I think last week in passing, that the world comes in to rob us of our time, demands our attention. We do not have time for God. We do not have time to allow Him to fellowship with us and us with Him. The demand is always there. Either we're going to take and break that demand and stand committed. That's a word you're going to hear a lot of this morning. Committed in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we're going to be out here led by our emotions, led by our reasoning, led by our natural thinking, rather than being directed by the Spirit. What makes you spiritual? What makes you spiritual-minded? Because as you read the 8th chapter, you'll see that there's an aspect that Paul is saying here, that you're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Very profound, profound statement. It challenges every natural thought that we have. It challenges. And of course, we can come and make our excuses. But see, when we come down here to seeing what God has done, there are no excuses. And when we come down to that place, there's one avenue that is left open to us. Avenue of faith. That's the only avenue that's left open to us. Avenue of faith. And that's why as you read James, you see that James wipes away all of our preconceived ideals about faith. Faith without works is dead. The same as the body without the spirit is dead. Faith without works is dead. And we're not talking now, and let me remind us again, because a lot of times we fall right back into that. We're not talking about fruit. We're talking about works. And we're not talking about works to obtain salvation. We're talking about the works that come out of our relationship with the Lord. We're talking about the works of faith, which is founded solidly in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Him being the author and finisher. We know these verses, but He is the one. He's the one that begins the faith within us. He's the one that brings it to a completeness or a climax. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me just read a few of these, because they're these truths, when we stop a moment and don't read part of it, because I hear the verse in chapter 8, verse 1, I hear it quoted all the time. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's where they stop. And you may be one that does that. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Don't stop there. Because you're only deceived if that's all you think. Because you put yourself in Christ and maybe you're not in Christ. Because it tells you what it is. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now just read it again. There is therefore no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit. When we get some of these things out of what we're resting on and start to trust in this vital relationship with Christ, where then we're going to start to see the works start to manifest in our lives. I'm sure that all of us this morning are desirous of being spiritual, and we would probably, if it came right down to it, we would talk from a spiritual point of view, thinking that if we quoted certain scriptures that this is spiritual. Spirituality comes from control. When the Spirit of God is being manifested in your life, when you're under His control, that's where we're going to see true commitment. Now, you may think that, well, I'm somebody that I can commit. But the world all around us has almost shattered this area of commitment to where nobody's committed to anything. And you would say, why aren't they committed to something? Well, here's the thing. There's been nothing built in them. There's no moral fibers. There's no discipline of the Spirit of God. We're not under the control of God. We're under the control, in some measure, of our own thinking. And the mind is one of our worst enemies as far as our reasoning and logicking back and forth rather than moving in truth. Those that worship the Lord, because He is Spirit, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Don't disconnect truth from Christ. He is truth. He doesn't give us truth. He is truth. If I'm going to worship Him, I'm going to worship God in truth. In Christ. In my relationship, in my union with Christ. All of these things, as I said, I think the first week, if I brought you to a place that you feel hopeless or hopeless, that's the best place, because then you're thrust completely on God. You can't trust in all of your own selves. And most of us, we have, over years, maybe we have learned to trust in our knowledge rather than our relationship with God. Because we have experienced certain things, we go on our experiences rather than what the Spirit of God is saying. We do not have that vital relationship with God. It isn't thus saith the Lord. It's not God moving. It's not God speaking to us. Let me read a verse here for us. It's found over in John 12. You know, I've read a number of other verses, but this is the first time that John 12 stood out to me. I said, how did that get in there? I don't mean the whole chapter. I mean these verses I'm going to read. Let me read 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, this is Christ speaking, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I don't know what value you put on that. The Father gave the Son a commandment. You say, what was that command? Whatever he spoke, it was life everlasting. In other words, he gave him what to say and what he should speak. And yet we're so prone to move from our own knowledge of what we have learned rather than our immediate experience of what thus saith the Lord. Would you admit that? If you don't, I will. I find it a very, very dangerous place when we get to this place that we're trusting in our own values and we're setting up values for every situation. We have allowed the world to push in upon us. We've allowed our situations, our jobs to dominate us rather than Christ dominating us. In other words, if Christ cannot control your life in the job that you have, quit your job and get another one.
Amen.
If there's compromise that you have to make in your job to the life of God that is within you, resign. Get another job that you can walk with true commitment to the Lord. Your commitment is to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. Anytime that you miss that and you move within what man has told you to move in, or if there are certain situations in your job or in the situation that you find yourself in that controls you rather than the life of God, and you cannot listen to Him, or there's rules set down that contradict the Scripture, get rid of that job and get another. Glory. For those of you that do not have jobs yet, it's a good thing to see if a job is something that you can move into and you can live with your commitment unto the Lord Jesus Christ with a good conscience. Remember, commitment is the most important thing. Commitment is based. Listen to this now, because this is something that's very hard to take and put our finger on. It's something that we just don't want to look at. But commitment is based upon who you are, based upon your character, based upon what has disciplined you, what has trained you. Over in 2 Peter, chapter 1, what's the first thing that you add to faith?
Knowledge.
What?
Knowledge.
Come along, somebody.
Virtue.
Virtue. Moral excellence. What does that mean to you? Is that just some abstract thought that has come out of this? No, this is character that's being built, a moral excellence. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for excellence in our relationship with the Lord. This is not something we're doing on our own. This is something we're doing in perfect union with the Spirit of God that dwells within us. Those that are led by the Spirit of God. Let that verbiage start to find meaning in our lives, rather than just repeating it, because we can all repeat it and not even know nothing about what it really means. We can say we're led by the Spirit of God, but we contradict that by just the walk that we walk, rather than seeing the life of God lived out and the manifestation of God brought to bear upon every situation. The truth, which is Christ. Because if we don't, well, you'll see that we don't fit into this place here that John is speaking about when Jesus spoke of himself. Father sent him, and he didn't say anything or he didn't speak unless he was fulfilling the commandment of God. That was the commandment. He was committed to the Father and to the purpose of God. Let's go over to, if we can, for just a moment there, into the 10th chapter of, we'll probably go back there to Romans in a minute, but to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. We're so used to reading these words that we just we accept them as if they're ours. Just one little phrase. To do thy will, O God, found in the 7th verse. That takes a commitment of will. And when we're committed to Christ, we're not committed to just a set of standards. We're committed to a relationship with Him that is active. Because if your relationship with God is not active, then you're doing nothing more than following the letter of the law rather than the Spirit. The Spirit must give life to us and does give life to us. But this is commitment. Jesus came and it wasn't, as it said, that God was not satisfied with burnt offerings and sacrifices. Had no longer any pleasure in these here. But the thing was that it was written in a book of Him that He came to do the will of God. And of course we can come to certain scriptures that tells us this. It's not the one that says, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of God. If we do what God is saying to us, if we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to us, the power is there. We spoke about that last week. The kingdom of God is not in what the world is looking at. The kingdom of God is in power. Now you say, well, I know what that means. Well, let me just give you a little understanding what it means. I told you last week what it meant. It means ability. In other words, if I have the power of God, I have the ability of God. If I'm looking to my own strength, I don't need that power. I can move within the confines of what I know and what I can do. But when I move in the ability of God, I'm moving into another realm. I'm moving into that spiritual realm that God has called each one of us to. When we are born of the Spirit of God, we are called to move and live in the realm of the Spirit. Glory? Amen? This is a glorious experience. I mean, sometimes I think we sit around and, you know, it doesn't even enthuse us to know that God has set us free. What I wanted to do, I can't do. Set me free from that. What He wants, I can do. I'm here for Him. That's where we go wrong in all of this area of commitment stuff. We're committed as long as everything goes our way. But we're not committed unto the Lord in what He is doing, what He has purposed. And that's why we see the mess around us that we see. But there's no sense in pointing our fingers there and using that as an escape door for us. Because a lot of times we will and say, well, look at them. You know, well, we're still human. Boy, you need to erase that from your vocabulary. Because the Scripture doesn't bear that out. It doesn't mean that you're not in a human body. But no longer are you in the flesh. No longer are you controlled by the flesh. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're in the Spirit. So don't start comparing yourself and saying, well, I'm still in this body. God understands. God doesn't understand. He has made full provision for us in the Spirit of God. We're all not going to be the same. When I say that, we're all not going to be the same. God comes and He indwells us, but our character is going to be the same. The virtues that come forth from us are going to be the same. The testimony coming forth from us as far as our character is concerned is going to be the very nature of God coming forth from all of us. All of us are personalities. God doesn't come in and change that, because He's placed us in the bodies as it has pleased Him. He's given us grace to function and to move. Commitment to the will of God. Sometimes what we do is cast away our confidence. We're brought to a place that we compromise. When you compromise the first time, that's not too easy. Second time is easier. Third time, you don't even give a thought about it usually. Fourth time, well, you think you've already made your excuses. You're already made a place to say, well, I'm all right. But if we're going to come back and we're going to be those that glorify God, and that's what we're talking about, if we're going to be those that are moving from glory to glory rather than from old me to old me. Because when we run into these things, it's usually in somebody wants to change the direction that we're going. God wants to break in and speak to our hearts. We say, oh me, it's robbing me of something. God never robbed you of anything. He says, it's easy for you to say. Now, I think the Word of God says that very clearly. You can't be a part of the world. You can't love the world and love God. Either you love one and hate the other, or hate the other and love the other. Just as simple as that. All of us sitting here this morning, I think, have some desire. We have some commitment, if it's only that we're fully convinced. We're believers. We're sitting here this morning as believers. I mean all of us. Some more than others. Some have been partakers. But we're sitting here as believers. We're not sitting here as those that are not believing. So as we believe, what is it really established on? What house are we building? Because you're building a house. You're building a house. It's either a spiritual house or it's a natural house. We either are moving and knowing the presence of God and the manifestations of God. And let me tack this onto it, and this is the core of it, and I'm enjoying it. Because if I'm not enjoying it, then you're not committed to it. There's always that hole left open that you leave open so that you can say, well, you know, I can do this, or I can do this. I'm committed to the life of God. I'm committed to the leading of the Spirit of God on a momentary basis. Do all of us believe that God is present with us at all times to lead us and guide us in everything that we do and the words that we speak? Amen. Yes. But sometimes we say, well, I don't hear God all the time. What are you listening for? Are you going to the Old Testament and hearing that still small voice? Or have you been quickened by the Spirit and you're made alive to where you can discern by the Spirit of God what the Spirit of God is moving and doing? And the Spirit of God is never going to contradict the life of the Lord Himself. Spirit never contradicts. Yeah, I mean in your words, in what you do, He's never going to contradict. And He's always going to be faithful. You can say, well, nothing stopped me. Then something was wrong in the beginning. of your relationship and your commitment if nothing stops. The Holy Spirit is always faithful. If you move up to something that you shouldn't be in, He's always faithful to stop you. Do you hear a voice? Of course you don't. We're not just hearing voices. We're talking about a relationship with God. We're talking about now that Christ is my life. I think our concept sometimes of what it means to have the life of Christ defers us from the truth. And He is my life. What am I doing? I'm living His life. How am I living it? In faith. It's from faith to faith, is it not? Our walk is in faith. God has brought us, and we all know this, it tells us this over there in Romans 8, that He has brought us into a higher law. Law of life. Do we know the difference between the law of life and the law of commandments? The law of death. Do we know the difference? We're under a higher law. We've been brought in. See, a lot of us think that because we're set free, we're not underneath any law. Oh, no, you just don't understand that. If you feel that you're free to do what you want to, you don't know what freedom is. Freedom, and this being set free into the law of life, brings us into Christ to where now we can do what God wants us to do. And that's the realm we move in. That's what we're committed to. In a real relationship, one that involves our minds, our emotions, and our whole being. That's what we're involved in. We're involved in a relationship that demands all of these faculties to be working. When we come to God, do we just throw our emotions out and throw our mind out? And we don't. No. But they have to be under the control of the Spirit. He's come to abide within us. And it's clear what He says. We just don't believe it. We've found an excuse around it. But see, here's what I find, that when I stand before God, and when any of you stand before God, none of us will have an excuse. We cannot look at each other. We cannot look at those that have stumbled along and not told us the truth. There's no excuses. We will answer to Him for what we have done on our own. God has made you a responsible person. You're responsible for your actions. When you come to that place of accountability, then you will give an account for that. Sometimes we think, well, I can make an excuse. We can't. But there's a tremendous working here that has to take place in what we've already talked about as far as commitment is concerned, because if we're going to see our commitment stand firm through every test and every trial, then there's going to have to be something built in us. Most of us are not. We're running too fast. We don't have time for this. I mean in every area. We don't have time to build character. We don't have time to do this in love. Love takes time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let that sink down a little bit.
Yes.
We say all of these different things of what love is. Well, if you really love me, you let me do this. If God was really love, He wouldn't keep us so confined. We're not confined. He just says, don't eat that tree. But that's the one thing that we're attracted to. Now, understand, follow me what I'm saying, my friend of thought in this. The one thing that will destroy us is what we set our hearts on. That I can move separate from God. That's what we set our hearts on.
Why is that? Do we want to be self-sufficient?
Got to be. And that's what comes up even when we're growing up as young people. The one thing is, I want to make decisions on my own. I don't want to. I want to be committed to the Lord. I want decisions to be coming from Him. I want the answers to be coming from Him. There's a lot to be done. And even in this area of building in our lives, we must be committed to it. If there's going to be character built, if we're going to do the will of God, then there's got to be something worked in us, and we've got to take the time to do that. At any cost. I don't care what the cost is. Love doesn't know any cost. It's like I said, you know, if you have a job and there's hindrances there keeping you from, and you cannot do the will of God, you have to compromise. Get out. When? Now. What do you mean now? Well, if you go to the job tomorrow and you go there, you go there and resign. Now you say, you're being ridiculous. No, I'm not being ridiculous. And I'm not just trying to philosophize here about it. I'm saying, if you really see what it means when you compromise and stay there, then you would do exactly what I said. And when I say that, I'm not just talking out the top of my head. I came to that decision one day, and I walked out. How long? 1 hour. Long enough for them to sign a contract that they buy me out. I'm leaving. Can't hold me. No compromise. Is that a must in what we're doing? If you stay in a situation where you have to compromise, it will eventually bring you down to its own level. It only takes one bite of the tree. Just trying to give us the seriousness of what we're talking about here this morning. Because we're still trying to live off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're still trying to live on our own criterion of what this means rather than by the Spirit. God wants us and has given us the Spirit that we can live in this realm. He has not only that, He has quickened this mortal body. He has made it alive. And I'm talking about your mortal body. Now, I'm not talking about your spirit being made alive. I'm talking about your mortal body has been made alive unto God, where you can do what God wants and enjoy it.
Amen.
We've got all of these wonderful stories about men in the Old Testament that didn't have half what God has promised us and given us. And look what they did. We don't like them brought before us, right? Because it makes us stand in awesome wonder about them, and we rejoice to see what they did, but God wants to do the same thing in us. For the same results, that our lives might be a light and might be salt where we're at. You say we're no good for this world, and if what you're talking about is true. No, not for this world. How can we have a job in this world? You find a job that you don't have to compromise. Is there jobs out there? Yes, there are jobs out there where you don't have to compromise the life of God. Because we have to see this commitment. Commitment first to Christ. He is everything. I'm complete in Him. My commitment to Him. My commitment to the revealed will of God. My commitment to the light that He has broken on my pathway. I'm committed to that. I mean, what He has revealed to me of Himself. Because if I'm adding something to my faith, I'm adding a moral excellence. That means that our lives are going to manifest the very presence of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's the Holy Spirit that what we're talking about is working in us. This is a moral excellence. All of these are manifestations of the very life of God that dwells within us. He's given us His divine nature, and He's going to take us on to this full commitment in all of these areas. When I say we're committed to the light, we're committed to the truth that has been revealed to us, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Right? Mm-hmm. So, the light that comes to you, you're responsible for it. But you're also responsible to the Spirit of God that dwells within you to lead you in every situation. Because what you may have known yesterday and what God revealed to you may be true. It may be in the life of God, but how does it affect the situation today and what you're doing and in what you encounter? You need the Spirit of God to give you this. That's why we live the life. We're living a life. We're not those that are led by commandments. We're those that are living the life, and how important that is. Paul tells us, and this is a very striking statement, it is to me anyway this morning, they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. Those that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. You mean I always have to have my mind set upon the things of the Spirit? See, we don't quite understand this working. How can I do a job if my mind has always got to be thinking about the Lord? See, we don't know what this means to live in the light. We're trying to live by what God tells us to do rather than living by the life that He's given us to live. Think about it. Look to the Lord. Pray about it. Because this is what happens. We live out of what we think is the right things to do. We're living from a set of commandments which are dead letter rather than living in the light. He has set me free from these into the life of God. I'm now living in the life of God. You're living in the life of God. We just need to see this and see the working out of it. In another place in Hebrews, in this 10th chapter, in the 14th verse, he says, He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. What's that got to do with commitment? That is commitment. Huh? Sanctification means to be set aside. What does commitment mean? Amen. You're committed to Him. You're committed for only His working. You're committed to one purpose. You're not committed to any other purpose. I don't care how well it sounds or how much pressure is brought to bear upon you by the world. Because the world is there. They're pressing you into its molds. Pressing you into its standard. Bringing you down from this place. Just like the illustration there about Nehemiah. Tried to get Nehemiah off of the wall. Nehemiah says, I'm doing a good work up here. I'm not coming down to talk to you. I'm doing a good work up here. I'm not coming down. The world always is causing us, always in some way pulling us down to its level. Because it will be the same way as Jesus. Jesus convinced the world of sin with His very presence. And we too. And remember what I say in these areas. We are those that want to be accepted, but yet God says that you're going to be hated for His name's sake. Because when the minute that you don't compromise and come down to the standard, the first thing is going to come to you, you're holier than thou. Who do you think you are? That's an awful blow to all of us. We just say, well, you're right, I can't be that way. So you lay aside your commitment to the Lord. To be accepted by the world. Is that true? Any of you ever heard that spoken to you? Well, who do you think you are? You're just holier than thou. That's your attitude. And no, that is not our attitude. Our attitude should be always reaching out. Always reaching out in love. Constantly reaching out in the life of God. But the minute that you will not deviate from your commitment, that's when they put their finger on you. Who do you think you are? Why do you think that they wanted to take and crucify Christ? Because he's for who he said he was, right? And when we say that we're Christians and that we're living what we preach, then you're holier than thou. But yet they when you step down, then they laugh at you. You're one of them. It's hard today to find somebody that is committed, that's not afraid to be laughed at. Very difficult. Because we want acceptance. And when we start to see that, then we start to come back and evaluate, who do we want acceptance from? Am I willing to lose acceptance of everybody if I have acceptance of God? I'm talking about the world now that I live in. I'm not talking about Christians. Because if we're in the body of Christ and in the life of God, then there is an acceptance of us. There is a witness of each one of us as far as what God is doing in each life. We are accepted. We're accepted in the Beloved. But this other area that I'm talking about is the world around about us. And each one of us are in the world more than we are as far as gathering together as a body of believers. We're in the world out there. Every day, one place or another. Is your little light shining? If it is, it's because you're committed. What if they put you in jail?
Shine there.
Huh?
It'll shine there.
Right, shine there. I mean, these are all extremes, of course, but the thing is that if we compromise, the first compromise, as I've already said, is not easy. The Spirit is faithful. But the second and third, and as you go on down, you already start to conform to the world, rather than being transformed by the renewing of your mind and setting your mind upon the things of the Spirit. If I'm going to be spiritual, I must be spiritually minded. This is not my doing, this is God's doing. The aspect that I have as far as God's working in my life is I'm committed. I don't have the power to do any of this. He gives me the power to do this. He gives you the power. Don't think for one moment that you can do this separate from Him. You can't. Many of us, we come to that place, I can't do this. No, you can't do it. I agree with you. But you're not moving separately from Him. He's there. He's going to give you the ability that you need. And that's why if these areas are not working in our lives, then when we come to looking for the manifestation of the Lord in our lives, and we start to look for the manifestation of the Spirit, we think that they're just going to manifest in a moment's time. But our lives have to be brought into order. Our lives must be brought to a place to where we are at rest. To where we dare not move. We don't want to move separate from Him. That's what He has for us. That's what He's prepared for us. It's not just for one or two. This is for everybody. And then as He moves, and of course there's a lot of activity in the Spirit of God and what God wants to do. A lot of activity as we move on into this realm. Because we think we have been deprived and we can only move in certain things. Because our concept of spirituality is listening to a message, listening to a little singing, listening to a little preaching, and a set of do's and don'ts. That's our concept of spirituality. I don't think it has anything to do with any one of the things I mentioned. Spirituality is my response to a God that love me and manifested that love to me. Spirituality is my commitment to Him and my relationship with Him. Because if you're not committed to God, you won't be committed to anybody else. And that's why the world is coming apart all around us. No commitment. Nobody's satisfied. Don't tell me, you can pick out a few that may be here and there you think they're satisfied, because the world is very deceptive. They put on a good show. They have a funny face on. But down deep, I know, and you know if you're a Christian this morning, that there's no satisfaction out there in the world doing your own will. So there's this area of being strengthened, and it has to be strengthened in the Spirit. No other way. You can't say, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Forget it. You're in a relationship with God. Respond to the Lord. A lot of times we say, well, tell me what's right. I can tell you what's right, but that don't mean that you're responding to God just because you're responding to what I say is right or anybody else says is right. You must be thrown back on your relationship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, get a relationship with God, because the door is wide open. You can have a relationship with God. But it's not in commandments. It's in spirituality, is in our response to the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's not in hearing voices. It's in moving in the life that He's given to us. My whole being. I can read it for you, but you read it for yourself there in the 8th chapter of Romans. Our whole being, our whole mortal body has been made alive unto God. I'm just not made alive in the Spirit. My whole mortal body is made alive. You don't believe that? You forced me to read it.
We would say we would believe it. But
where are you reading, Brother
Bob? I'm reading Romans 8, verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, you are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the bodies, you shall live. Many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we all thought that being born again was being born again of the Spirit and made alive spiritually. But we fail to see that God has, that the Spirit of God that dwells in you has quickened this mortal body to where we can do His will and enjoy it. Because if you're not enjoying it, don't do it. You're under the law if you're not enjoying what God is doing. You say it's hard. Nothing hard about it. Just that you don't want to do it. See, it's that fight of wills. Commitment. I am here to do what thing? One thing. To do His will. Settle. You don't have to settle that question again. Glory? I am here to do His will. With that will come His presence, His manifestations, because you can't function spiritually without these things that we've been talking about. And again, let me say this. It's the manifestations of the Spirit of God are not just for the church. The manifestations for each believer that has the Spirit indwelling them, that they can move in a spiritual manner. Glory.
Can I read this translation?
Yes, sir.
So then, my brothers, you can see that we owe no duty to our sensual nature, or to live life on the level of the instincts. Indeed, that way of living leads to certain spiritual death. But if, on the other hand, you cut the nerve of your instinctive actions by obeying the Spirit, you will live.
I think sometimes we're trying to live a double life. There are those that say we have two natures. Well, we don't. That doesn't mean that you're not in a human body. Yeah, you haven't been glorified yet, that's for sure. But when God comes in, He brings a divine nature. And you have His nature. You can do. You're not living a dual life. You're not making choices. You're not living from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're living from the tree of life. You have been partakers of it. Now we need to live there and we need to enjoy it. Let me stress that this morning. Enjoy it. One of the things that I put down here in passing over some of these things was our attitudes and expressions that we give. One thing that I was reading down there, and the one thing it came forth, it says, "Praise God." Just that phrase stuck out to me. And I said, you know, that envelops my whole attitude. I cannot praise God and not have it affect my attitudes and expressions that I'm giving if I'm truly praising and worshiping God. Right?
Amen.
And I think that if our attitudes and our expressions that we give were an outflowing of this bubbling life, and I don't mean it's always got to bubble, but there's an outflowing of life. I don't think Jesus was going down the road or disciples were going down the road always taking with a great big smile on their face, but they were rejoicing in Him. And there's a difference between just some of the superficial rejoicing and the real joy that we have in Him and the rejoicing, where we can actually say we are praising God.